Okay. I'd like to discuss this evening a question which, in one form or another, I'm sure has crossed our minds at some point. And that is, I know growing up as a kid, certainly before I fasted, and all the more so right after I became bar mitzvahed and started fasting, the two most dreaded days of the year were Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. I'm sure we can all relate to that. It's just one long marathon fast, especially Tisha B'Av, which is in the summer. The day is longer. We're not in shul for the entire day, so the time doesn't exactly pass as quickly as it does on Yom Kippur. But we kind of always coupled Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur together as a pair. And as we grew older and perhaps learned a little bit about the character and the nature of both days, we kind of, that sort of couplet or that sort of pair kind of broke apart a little bit. And we realized that although the things that we do on those days are similar, the nature and the character of those days really, in fact, are quite different. And again, although they still might be dreaded in some respect, they are nonetheless days whose characters are very different. Tisha B'Av is a day of profound distance and estrangement and really a sense of avelos, of mourning over the Beis HaMikdash, a loss which, although not felt as palpably as perhaps we should, is nonetheless a very, very important and stark contrast between the way things are and the way things should be. Again, that sense of distance and estrangement and hester panim that comes with Tisha B'Av. And on the other extreme, Yom Kippur, which is a day of intense closeness and intimacy and really pure, unadulterated godliness. That's what Yom Kippur is. And again, like I said, although we do the same things, those things which we do really are geared towards achieving different goals. The goals that we look to achieve by fasting and the other things that we do on Tisha B'Av are markedly different from the goals we're looking to achieve on Yom Kippur. And if we look at the source sheet in front of us, we'll see that Tisha B'Av, in fact, in Tanakh, when it's mentioned, is not grouped with Yom Kippur, but is, however, grouped with the other three fast days. Together, we call them the Dalet Somos, the four fast days, the four communal fast days which have to do with Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Zechariah tells us, Vahidvar Hashem Tzvakos Elai Lemor, Komar Hashem Tzvakos, Tzom HaRvi'i, V'tzom HaChamishi, V'tzom HaShvi'i, V'tzom HaSiri, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth month, which are, of course, Shivasar B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Som Gedalia, and Asara B'Teves, respectively. Yiyeh L'Beis Yehuda, L'Sason U'L'Simcha, U'L'Moadim Tovim, V'Ha'emes V'Hashalom Ehavu. These days, which are now days of sorrow, days of mourning, serious and very measured days, will, in the future, God willing, be days of holiday, be days of joy for Beis Yehuda, for the house of Yehuda, when in fact, Emes V'Hashalom Ahavu, when truth and peace are treasured. So we see Tisha B'Av is one of the four fast days. Tisha B'Av seems to be grouped together with the other Ta'anios and has nothing to do with Yom Kippur, again, even though our instinct may have been to group them together as one. And in fact, the evidence bears this out. Yom Kippur is a day which, again, like I said, is markedly different. But Yom Kippur is a day when we're looking to achieve something wholly unique and singular that we're never looking, that we don't look to do again the entire year. If we look at sources 2 through 4, this is clearly borne out. Source number 2 is a medrash, which we're, I'm sure, very familiar with. But the language is just absolutely beautiful. B'shah sh'al Moshe l'marom, Shama l'malachi ashares shahayu omrim la'kadosh baruch hu baruch shem kivod malchuso le'olam va'ed. When Moshe went up to heaven, he heard the administering angels saying the words baruch shem kivod malchuso le'olam va'ed. V'horid osa li'Yisrael. And Moshe took this formula, this beautiful verse that was being recited, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Ve'ed, blessed is Hashem the King for and His kingdom forever and ever. And Moshe brought it down to the Jewish people. So asks the Medrash, V'lama Ein Yisrael Omer Noso B'Farhesia, if that's the case, why don't we exclaim, why don't we scream out Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Ve'ed, just like the angels did? Amar Rav Asi, Lama Hadavar Doma, what is this similar to? Le'echad Sheganav Kuzmin Mitoch Paltin Shemelach, someone stole a precious gem from the palace of the king. Nasna la ishtov amar la altis kashtiba bifarheskia elabasof beischa. Someone who steals a gem and gives it to his wife as a gift and says, don't wear it out of the house, it's too precious. So this is Baruch Shem for the Jews. Aval b'yom ha-kippurim shehein nikiyim kimalachei hashares. On Yom Kippur, which is a day in which we are completely clean and free of sin, just like angels. Hein omer no sabu farhesya baruch shem kvo machusol elam ve'ed. Even though on the rest of the year we can't, on Yom Kippur, since we are nikiyim kimalachei hashares, we are free of sin like angels, therefore we can say baruch shem kvo machusol out loud. So we see the task and the goal and the theme and the character of the day of Tisha B'Av is really one of an angelic abstinence. When we withdraw from the physical world, we do so not to afflict ourselves in the mournful sense, but in the angelic sense. It's a sense of angelic abstinence where we try to become almost godly. And that's what Tisha B'Av, that's what Yom Kippur, is all about. And source number three as well, where the Rush, again, citing Chazal, is trying to also compare us to Malachi Hashares on Yom Kippur. Ma Malachi Hashares, Yechife Regel, Ein Lehem Kafatzim, Ein Behem Achilu Shtia. Angels, they don't move, and they're barefoot, and they don't eat, and they don't drink, and Simas Shalom Beinehem, and they're unified, and they're united. Halavai, all of our shuls on Yom Kippur are united the way angels are. But and Nikiyim Mikol Chet and are free of all sin. Af Bnei Yisrael b'Yom HaKippurim. So too the Jewish people on Yom Kippur are they go barefoot and they don't eat and they don't drink, etc., etc. Just like the Malachi Hashares, like the administering angels. And all, more says the Rosh V'Nagu Litvol Erev Yom HaKippurim. Because why do we go to the mikvah on Erev? Is there a minhag to go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur so that we can be free of sin, just like Malachi Hashares? And the Shulchan Aruch says in the last of these sources in source number four, the Ramah writes, Yeshakasvi Shenagu Lilbosh Begadim Levanim Nikiyim B'Yom Kippurim Dugmas Malachi Hashares. Of course, many of us have the custom to wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. Why do we do that? There are many different interpretations offered. The Ramah himself gives a reason. Because that we should be wear all white and look like an angel. So we see clearly and explicitly that the goal and the task of the Jewish people on Yom Kippur, particularly as it pertains to the five Inuyim, is the sense of an angelic abstinence. We withdraw, we recoil from this world, not to mourn, not to suffer for any particular loss, but actually quite the contrary. To become more godly, to get closer to God, and to indeed try to compare ourselves to the administering angels. However, the notion of abstinence and the notion of fasting and afflicting ourselves on Tisha B'Av is one which is completely and markedly different. If you look at source number five, the source number five is a statement from the Gemara in Tainis. The Gemara in Tainis says, Tana Rabbanan, Kol mitzvos hanoagos be'avel, noagos be'Tisha B'Av. Every mitzvah, every practice which is observed by an avel, someone who is mourning for the loss of a loved one, is practiced on Tisha B'Av as well. And the Mishnah, the Braisa gives examples. Asur ba'achilo, v'shtia, v'sicha, v'n'ilas asandal, v'tash v'shamita, etc. Eating, drinking, anointing oneself, washing oneself, engaging in marital relations, and the Braisa goes on to talk about Talmud Torah and other things. There's one major problem with this Braisa. Can anyone tell me what it is? You don't even have to read it that carefully. Excellent. What's your name? Shana just points it out very simply. That the Braisa tells us that all the practices of a mourner are indeed practiced on Tisha B'Av as well. And the first two on the list, I'm sure there are some of us in the room who have undergone the tragic experience of losing a loved one, but hopefully not. But when someone does, they know that there is no prohibition of eating and drinking for an avel. As a matter of fact, the exact opposite is true. the first mitzvah that an Avel, upon his return from the cemetery, has is a mitzvah to have a meal. It's called the Sudas Havra. It's supposed to serve as a consolation and comfort of sorts. So we'll have to return to this Gemara exactly what is this Gemara referring to. How could it call achila and shtia, eating and drinking, a nihuge avelus, a practice of mourning, when it doesn't seem to be that at all? So that's that. But suffice it to say for now, what we see from this Gemara clearly is that the thrust of Tisha B'Av is really one of mourning and one of affliction for avelus, for the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. In source number 6, yeah.
I just want to point out also that there seems to be dichotomy between kol ha-mitzvot and no hagot. Like, mitzvot are commanded, no hagot are more custom.
True, that's certainly true. Well, we normally do call them nihuge avelus, which are, you know, practices. Why do they call it mitzvot? It's a good question. Maybe we'll answer that as well. But that's also a good question on the Brisa. Why do they call it mitzvos? Mitzvah can also not just mean commandment, but also some sort of other imperative, a practice. But you're right. The language isn't exactly as precise as it should be. We'll see later on that there are others who had a problem with this Brisa, similar in the way that Shana pointed out a moment ago. In source number 6, moving on, we see again, we're still in the stage of contrasting as starkly as possible Yom Kippur with Tisha B'Av. In source number 6, we see that someone who v'hakorei b'Tisha B'Av omer baruch dayan ha'emes. If you read the Torah on Tisha B'Av, what bracha do you say? The bracha of baruch dayan ha'emes. How strange is that, according to the Maseches Sofrim? We don't have this practice, but that's the bracha you're supposed to say before you tear kriya for a mace. And that's what you say when you learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. Very, very jarring. Some people put the Torah on the ground in black shrouds. Fascinating. The Omrim Nafla Teres Roshenu, and they say the crown of our heads has fallen. The Korin, and they tear Kriya Umaspidin Kadam Shemesimut Lefanav, and they give eulogies as if someone's dead loved one is sitting before them. And so on and so forth. V'yeshem eshaninis makoman. They change their makom in the shul. The sheyardin misaf zilehan lamita. And they don't sit on their chairs. The chulam mispashlin be'efer. Everyone puts ashes on their head again. This is all imagery that we normally associate with mourning, with avelus. Ashes and sitting on the ground and all of these things. Why? And asur l'saper dabar v'latzeis l'chutz. You're not supposed to go on trips. Because you don't want to lose sight of that sense of mourning that we're supposed to have. You're not even supposed to talk to a non-Jew. Apparently that also is going to distract you too much from the sense of mourning that you're supposed to have. We don't have anything against non-Jews, but when you speak to a non-Jew, they're not sensitive to what day it is. They don't know it's Tisha B'Av. And it's more likely that they'll probably get you off track and off kilter in terms of what you're supposed to be focused on that day. So again, the sense of mourning and avelus and sorrow that we're supposed to experience on Tisha B'Av, and that the five inuyim are supposed to engender on Tisha B'Av, is very, very, very stark and very clear. Again, as opposed to Yom Kippur, the five inuyim on Yom Kippur are for the purpose of to become angelic, to become almost godly. And on Tisha B'Av, it's quite the opposite, where we're looking to be mourning over the Beis HaMikdash, a sense of sorrow and a sense of profound loss at what we no longer have, and that's what the five Inuyim are looking to accomplish on Tisha B'Av. And there are more sources to this end, sources 7 and 8 as well, you'll look at on your own. I just want to point out one more thing before we go on to the next stage, and that is that the contrast is actually seen not only in the differences, but also in some of the similarities. If you look at sources 9 and 10, the Rambam has a very, very interesting and fascinating discrepancy in one particular halacha as it pertains to Tisha B'Av versus Yom Kippur. In source number 9, in Hilchos Shvisas Asar, which is the body of halachos in which the Rambam speaks about Yom Kippur, says the Rambam, Asur lasuch miktsas gufo kekol gufo, bein sicha shaltanug, bein sicha she'ena shaltanug. On Yom Kippur, there's a prohibition of anointing oneself whether it's an anointing for pleasure or an anointing that's not for pleasure. We won't get into the details now exactly what constitutes a sicha shaltanug and what a sicha she'ena shaltanug, but suffice it to say for now, both are prohibited, says the Rambam on Yom Kippur. However, in source number 10, in Hilchos Ta'anios, in discussing the laws of Tisha B'Av, the Rambam simply says, v'asur b'sicha shaltanug. What's prohibited is a sicha, an anointing of oneself for pleasure, and he doesn't say explicitly that there's a prohibition of anointing oneself not for pleasure as well. And in doing so, in fact, he goes against the Gemara. The Gemara in Psachim, the Gemara in Tanis, both seem to equate Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur vis-a-vis the anointing of oneself, latanug and she'ena latanug. And the Rambam puts a chasm between the two. We can explain the Rambam in light of this this dialectic that we've drawn up until this point. What is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is a day of godliness. It's a day of becoming like a malach, like the malach Asharis. And therefore it makes perfect sense, what? That we would not be allowed to do sicha shaltanug or sicha she'ena shaltanug because angels don't do either. So that makes perfect sense. If it's on Tisha B'Av and it's about mourning and it's about avelos, it's about a day of feeling the loss of the Beis Hamikdash, then perhaps we understand why only sicha shaltanug is prohibited. Sicha she'ena shaltanug, which isn't for pleasure, but it's something which is for other reasons, maybe medical reasons or the like, would be in fact permitted. So we see up until this point, thus ends part one of the shir, which is a dialectic and a distinction between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, again, and Yom Kippur, although as we said at the outset, we very often group the two together, really they seem to be markedly different days. Even though we do the same things, those things that we do look to accomplish completely different goals. On Yom Kippur, where we look to compare ourselves and equate ourselves like Malachi Asharis, like angels, and Tisha B'Av, where we do the exact opposite, where we're mourning and we're suffering, so to say, over the profound loss that we no longer have the Beis Hamikdash. Now let's return for a moment to the question that Shana raised a moment ago. We said that one of the unique features of Tisha B'Av is that anything that an Avel does, this is the Brisa proclaims this in Maseches Tanis, anything that an Avel does, that's what we do on Tisha B'Av. And the question that we raised is a very, very good one that Shana raised. And that is that an Avel doesn't not eat. An Avel is allowed to eat, and in certain instances, an Avel is required to eat. And that's an excellent question. So much so that if you look at source number 11, the Rush actually changes the girsa, he changes the text in that brisa, and he takes out the words achilu shtia. The Rush obviously had the same question that Shana did, and therefore, Tana Rabbanan, kol mitzvos hanoagos ba'avel, noagos b'tisha b'av, that part is the same. Asur b'rechitza, uvesicha, uven ilas asandal, and what's clearly missing? Achilu shtia. The Rush had the same problem, which raises a very important question for us. Up until now, we've been assuming this stark contrast and this dialectic between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, when in reality, we've said that Tisha B'Av is more akin to an Avelos as opposed to Yom Kippur, which is not, when in reality, in some respects, while Tisha B'Av in certain respects is similar to Avelos. In other respects, it's similar not to Avelos, but to Yom Kippur. There are certain areas of halacha in which we treat Tisha B'Av not like a day of Avelos, but like another Yom Kippur. And the first example, the example, perhaps the paradigm, is what Shana pointed out a moment ago. When we're mourning, we don't not eat. When do we not eat? On Yom Kippur. So that's perhaps square one, that's ground zero for if we were looking to compare Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur, that's point number one. Secondly, when does the fast of Tisha B'Av start?
At night.
When else do we start fasting at night? Yom Kippur. Is there any other fast that we start at night? No. Certainly on our calendar. We fast we fast for 25 hours on Tisha B'Av like we do on Yom Kippur. And not only that, but there's something else that the Rambam, when discussing fast days, he points out that all fasts, except for the very, very select few having to do with the loss of rain, which, and this is even further down along in the process, but even most fasts that have to do with rain that aren't on our calendar, that are instituted by the Anshe Knesset HaGadolah for whatever reason, all fasts, says the Rambam, start in the morning. All fasts. All public fast days start in the morning. So how bizarre is it then that when Chazal created the day of Tisha B'Av, they did so and they modeled it not after the rest of the fast days, but after Yom Kippur? Now, again, you could say that they did so just to show the severity of the day, but there are certainly other ways we could do that. Why do they have to make the day longer? It's almost as if Chazal were begging us to compare Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur. So that's another interesting point. Furthermore, and just another couple of comparisons. Again, I'm trying to list now comparisons between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. First of all, the Issur Achila in the first place, the prohibition of eating. Second, the length of the fast day being 25 hours long. Thirdly, we mentioned the Issur Sicha before. Now let's focus on the Issur Rechitza. The Issur Rechitza, there's a prohibition to wash oneself on Tisha B'Av. The scope and the nature of that Issur Rechitza on Tisha B'Av is not like the Issur Rechitza, the prohibition of washing that an Avel has, but rather, what is that Issur Rechitza like on Tisha B'Av? You can even guess it. It's like Yom Kippur. What is the nature? What am I talking about? By an Avel, says the Gemara, and this is codified by the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch as well, there's a prohibition to wash miktzas gufo b'chamin, v'chol gufo b'tzone. You're allowed to wash part of your body with hot water, and you're allowed to wash your entire body with cold water. That's what an Avel is allowed to do. On Tisha B'Av, says the Gemara, asur afilu lahoshit etzba'o b'mayim. You're not even allowed to put your finger in the water for rechitza purposes, unless it's to wash away, obviously we know, dirt, zeya, whatever happens to be there. So again, we compare Tisha B'Av that, and that's what we're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur. So we compare Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur, and not to Avelos, not to mourning. That's three things that we could put on the list of Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur comparisons. And here's a fourth. The Rambam says explicitly in the laws of mourning that obviously we know one of the prohibitions both by Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur and a mourner is that you're not supposed to wear shoes. Really, leather shoes, but you're not supposed to wear shoes, leather shoes. And however, says the Rambam, Hayotze laderech, noel v'holich, by an avel, by a mourner, again, these sources are not on the sheet, I'm just making my own mental list. You can make a mental list with me. Someone who has to go somewhere, an avel who has to go somewhere, he has to leave the house, noel v'holich, you could put on your shoes and you can go without a problem. So says the Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Avel. However, by Tisha B'Av, he omits this kula, this leniency, entirely. One would think that if Tisha B'Av is modeled after the practices of mourning, if the permissibility exists by Tisha B'Av to put on your shoes for whatever trip you have, by mourning, by Avelos, to put on your shoes for a trip that you're going on, so that trip, leniency, should apply not just by Tisha B'Av, but not just by mourning, but by Tisha B'Av as well. And yet the Rambam is silent by Tisha B'Av. He doesn't mention that leniency by Tisha B'Av as he does by mourning. So we have the notion of the Issur Achila, the length of the fast day, the scope of the Issur Rechitza, and the leniency of Noel v'holech baderech. Those four things where the Rambam and the Gemara, in fact, could have easily made Tisha B'Av like the laws of mourning. The laws are there by mourning to make Tisha B'Av like mourning, but instead, the halacha chose to create on Tisha B'Av laws which are more akin to Yom Kippur. So what gives? Why is, if Tisha B'Av is mourning, so why not make it like mourning? Why make it like Yom Kippur? And there are different answers given to some of these questions. The Grizz, the Brisker Rav, and the Minchas Chinuch, two more of the more prominent Achronim, they kind of give a sweeping answer to all of these things, and they say that in addition to the notion of avelos on Tisha B'Av, there's something else. And there's the notion, in addition to avelos, there's also the notion of tanis, a fast day. There's avelos and there's tanis. Now, to me, that kind of just begs the question. If when we fast on Tisha B'Av, the tanis of Tisha B'Av is something other than avelos, so then what is it? What are we doing? Why are we fasting? What is this notion of tanis that we're doing? Why is Tisha B'Av a fast day if not for the purpose of avelos? What is the other theme? What is the added character of the day that these achronim are talking about? So, I don't know, you tell me. What do you think? Is why should Tisha B'Av be if it's not like morning, then what is it? And perhaps is it like Yom Kippur at all? Yes.
Well, doesn't Tisha B'Av have something to do with the coming of Mashiach?
Okay.
So if it's supposed to be, I forget exactly what it's supposed to be in that framework, but so it has something of the divine and transcendence, and this is the Yom Kippur element also. So it's forward moving. It's not just
okay. Morning. Very good. Very good. So we've added a grain of Yom Kippur, shades of Yom Kippur in Tisha B'Av, and you're focusing on the futuristic or the Yemos HaMashiach element that exists in Tisha B'Av. Anybody else have any thoughts? Yes.
Fast day is also about Tshuva.
Excellent. Okay. Right. So that obviously is part of the direction we're going to go in, and that is that fast days in general are about Tshuva. And that is certainly true. We'll see that in the Rambam in just a moment. So that could be what's going on here as well, of course. And in fact, probably is. That gets, I think, unless anyone else has any thoughts on the matter, we're looking to, again, how is Tisha B'Av like Yom Kippur, and if it's not Avelos, what is it? Okay. So, there's a dispute amongst the Rishonim that I think is key, which Rachel mentioned a moment ago, or alluded to, and that is the four fast days in general, the four fast days that we alluded to at the beginning that are mentioned in the verse in Zechariah. What is the character, what's the nature, what's the reason behind those four fast days? The Ran in Maseches Tanis has the majority opinion, which most subscribe to, and that is that these four fast days are about avelos. In different gradations, to different degrees, but they all, to a certain extent, are mourning over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. As we know, the stories that surround each of the four fast days have to do with the Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. It's mourning, it's avelos for the loss that we experienced, culminating in Tisha B'Av, on the ninth of Av, which is the greatest of the four. That's the view of the Ram. However, the Rambam thinks differently. The Rambam, if you look at source number 12 on your page, Yesh Sham Yomim Shekol Yisrael Misanim Bohen Mipnei Hatzaros She'iru Bohen. There are days that we fast on because of the troubles and the calamities that have befallen the Jewish people on those days. Why do we fast on those days? Again, it's like weird. The Rambam just said we fasted because of the tzaros that happened on those days. But the Rambam gives another reason. What's the reason? Kedei lo'orer halavavos v'lavtoach darkei hatshuva. The reason is to awaken the hearts of the masses and to show them and open for them the path of tshuva. V'yiyeh zeh zichron l'maaseinu harah m'maaseh aboseinu shehaya k'maaseinu ata. To remind us of the evil of our ways, and the ways of our fathers and mothers who were just as evil as ours, which is why we still continue to observe these fast days, and so on and so forth, says the Rambam. Shezichron devarim elu nashuv lehetid. Because when we remember these things, this will cause us to return back to the proper way. Says the Rambam in Halacha Beis. This is the fifth chapter of Hilchos Tanyos. That was Halacha Aleph. Says the Rambam in Halacha Beis, and he goes on to list these fast days. Ve'elu hein. Yom Shlishi B'Tishrei, Va Asiri B'Teves, V'Shivasar B'Tamos, V'Chamisha Dvarim, and he lists the five things that happened on Shivasar B'Tamos, and he lists three things, three of the four fast days in Halacha Beis. What's clearly missing?
Tisha B'Av.
Now, where's Tisha B'Av? In the next Halacha Gimel. V'Tisha B'Av, the fourth item on the list. What's the obvious question? Why didn't he group Tisha B'Av? If he's providing a list of the four fast days, it would seem to me, I didn't see anyone who asked this question, but it would seem to me that Rambam should include the content of Halacha Gimel, which is the last item on the list, just together in Halacha Beis with the other three. That would seem to make sense, but he doesn't. So maybe this can serve as a springboard. If I just had this, I wouldn't necessarily say it, but with all the other evidence that we've compiled, perhaps we can suggest the following. Maybe Tisha B'Av is in fact a day of Avelos for the Chorban. It is a day that we mourn over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's also, as Rachel suggested and as we saw in the Rambam, it's a Yom Tshuva. It is a day where the Avelos, the mourning that we do, is for the purpose of inspiring us to go through a Tshuva process. And that part is not new. That's clear in the Rambam. Rachel said that and the Rambam said that, so that much we know already. But what is new, what I'd like to suggest, and I don't know if anyone else says this, but the other three are just days of tshuva. They're regular days of tshuva. Chazal, when they carefully crafted Tisha B'Av as a Yom Tshuva, did so modeled after Yom Kippur. The day of Tisha B'Av and all that goes into it as a Yom Tshuva is modeled after Yom Kippur. After all, Yom Kippur, in addition to being a day of angelic abstinence, is the Torah characterizes Yom Kippur as a day of Lifnei Hashem. It's a day that we are Lifnei Hashem, we're before God. And what brings about the status of Lifnei Hashem? The Chamei Shinuyim, when we withdraw and we recoil from this world, we strip away the layers and we do away with all the physical barriers that exist between us and Hashem. Physical barriers which during the year are meant to be used for good and positive purposes, but we take away those physical barriers to aid in the task of getting Lifnei Hashem, coming before Hashem. So perhaps on Tisha B'Av we're doing the same thing. Yom Kippur, it's the most simple and most straightforward day of the year. There's nothing going, it's holy, it's the holiest day of the year, but it's also very, it's not so complex. It's pure unadulterated godliness, like we said before. It's totally Lifnei Hashem. And everything is so clear on Yom Kippur. So perhaps on Tisha B'Av we're looking to do the same. The Yom Tshuva of Tisha B'Av is supposed to be a Yom of Lifnei Hashem, where we strip away the barriers, we peel away the layers, and we sit down and we ask ourselves in a pure and unadulterated and unabashed way, what is important to us? What are our priorities? And I'm sure we've all experienced this. Tisha B'Av is a day like no other where we can sit and reflect and introspect and ask ourselves what's really important to us. And that's what Tisha B'Av is supposed to be, modeled after Yom Kippur, a day of Lifnei Hashem. It's the same idea, Lifnei Hashem, where we strip away these layers and we get down to what's really important. And that perhaps could be what Tisha B'Av is all about, modeled after Yom Kippur in that sense. The Rav has a very interesting comment in source number 15. Based on the two models of tshuva, we're not going to go through the sources inside, but in source 13 and 14, in Parshas Va'eschanan and Parshas Nitzavim respectively, the notion of tshuva is mentioned. And says Rav Soloveitchik in source number 15, and this is recorded in Ala Tshuva, that it's not a coincidence that these two parshios of tshuva are read when? When is Va'eschanan read? The Shabbos right after Tisha B'Av, right? And when is Parshas Nitzavim read? Right between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur on most years. Says Rav Soloveitchik as follows in source number 15. The episode of repentance in Nitzavim is directly connected with the Day of Atonement. The episode of repentance in Va'eschanan is read close to the date of the 9th of Av, which is also a day of penitence that is born out of calamity and distinction. When? When thou art in tribulation, which is the language of the Pasuk there. And he says there are two varying notions of tshuva. The episode of repentance in Nitzavim, on the other hand, is read before the Day of Atonement. And here the repentance issues from joy and from drawing near to the Almighty. A man may, however, that's Yom Kippur. And Tisha B'Av is, a man may become disgusted with sin due to remoteness from the Almighty, which causes a yearning to draw near him. He certainly feels unable to sin when he is conscious of the proximity to the Almighty. So there are two emotional, existential feelings which can bring one to tshuva, a sense of closeness, of proximity, and a sense of distance, of remoteness. And both of those, whether it's because you're so disgusted with yourself or because you're so close that you could just feel it, those both bring about tshuva. And that could be why Tisha B'Av, again, it's the day of the greatest Hester Panim of the entire year. God hid his face on Tisha B'Av more than he did any other day. Yet, perhaps because of that, we invoke the ideas of Yom Kippur and the themes of Yom Kippur to create that state of Lifnei Hashem. Again, not literally, because it is Hester Panim, but in the sense of stripping away everything so that we can ask ourselves in a very clear, lucid, and cogent way, what is important to us? What are our priorities? And that could be what Tisha B'Av really, to a certain extent, is all about. The shades of Yom Kippur that we see in Tisha B'Av are no accident. It's done for the purpose of doing that special type of tshuva that we only engage in on Yom Kippur. Perhaps we can do on Tisha B'Av as well. As an aside, by the way, can anyone think of the opposite? Shades of Tisha B'Av on Yom Kippur. Anybody? Asara Harugei Malchus. Excellent. Now, to be sure, in the spirit of full disclosure, it's important to point out that the Asara Harugei Malchus was a later addition into the Shmona Esrei. So it's not a foolproof raya, but nonetheless, it's interesting that we invoke on Tisha B'Av the 10 martyrs who were killed al Kiddush Hashem, and we say that, and we tell the whole story, which is a purely Tisha B'Av story. We all know the Kino of Arzei Halavanon on Tisha B'Av. We all know that it's a Tisha B'Av story, and for some reason, it found its way into the Shmona Esrei on Yom Kippur. Why? So probably for that reason. It's for the purposes of tshuva. And that kind of mirrors back to Tisha B'Av. The tshuva of Yom Kippur and the tshuva of Tisha B'Av are unique and singular and kind of mirror one another. And I'll just make two more quick points. The parallelism doesn't stop on the day itself. It's actually very interesting. What do we say about Yom Kippur? What character does Erev Yom Kippur have? What do we know? What do we do on Erev Yom Kippur?
We eat
a lot, right? And the Gemara says that it's fascinating. Kol ha'ochel b'tshii, anyone who eats on the ninth day of Yom Kippur, the day before Yom Kippur, ki'ilu hisameh, it's as if you fasted b'tshii uva asiri, on the ninth and the tenth. Why is that a good thing? Why do we want to fast on the Torah says to fast on the tenth. Why do we want to fast on the ninth also? Ever think about that question? It's a strange question. Keep that in the back of your head. And let's go to Tisha B'Av. What does the Gemara say about Tisha B'Av? There was a dispute in the Gemara about when Tisha B'Av should be. Should it be on the 9th, which we do, or should it be on the 10th? Why does the Gemara say it should be on the 10th? Because that's when the main burning of the Beis HaMikdash happened. And the Gemara concludes we do it on the 9th. Why? Aschal to the Puranusa Adifa. Because we should focus on the beginning. That's when it started on the 9th. But we actually retain that minhag to this day because we are noheg nihugi avelos. We maintain the practices of the 9 days till chatzos of the following day, right? So we actually, there are shades of that machlokas even in modern day practice. But it's so interesting, the parallelism. That 2 day unit of 9 and 10 that exists by Yom Kippur exists by Tisha B'Av also. How fascinating. Again, I don't know if there's a substantive connection, but it's just interesting, that parallelism. And I'll take it one step further. Or can any of you take it one step further? Okay, you could say Aseres Me'etshuva, 9 days, that also works well. That's not what I was thinking of. That's a great point also. I'll make sure to put that down in my notes. Anyone? After Yom Kippur. What? Sudas Mafsekes. Sudas Mafsekes is also a good point. We have a Sudas Mafsekes. When is Sukkot?
4 days ahead.
The 15th of Tishrei, which is, we know, the happiest yontif for Hayisa Ach Sameach. It's the happiest yontif for the year. And what is on the 15th of Av? Tu B'Av, which the Gemara says is one of the happiest days of the year. Together with Yom Kippur, ironically. So, We have this parallelism between Av and Tishrei, which, again, some of it I can explain, some of it I can't, but it's this period of Lifnei Hashem, of ironically, in a time of such great hester panim, a time of living, and just to be sure, the 15th of Av, according to Chazal, is not a happy day in a vacuum. It's a happy day which is specifically related to Tisha B'Av. What happened on Tu B'Av, according to Chazal? The Jews, we knew every single Tisha B'Av would die in the Midbar, and they used to climb into their man-made graves on Tisha B'Av, and they woke up one year on the 10th of Av, and they weren't dead, obviously, if they woke up. And they said, oh, maybe we got the calendar wrong. And they did it again and again and again until they saw the full moon on the 15th, and they knew that the plague, God's plague, was over. So it's specifically related to Tisha B'Av, the 15th of Av, just as Sukkot and Yom Kippur have a very unique and important connection, one with the other. So, again, some of that I can explain, some of it I can't, it's just very interesting. But Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur perhaps mirror each other and are similar more than we might think. And I'll end with one last point, if you'll permit me. And that is that there are two times in the year. Let's one more question. What are the two times in the year in our liturgy that we say Lashana Haba B'Yushalayim? Yom Kippur and Pesach, at the end of Yom Kippur and the end of the Seder, right? The end of Yom Kippur and the end of the Seder. I always say this to our Torah, like at the Seder. So Tisha B'Av is like one long Lashana Haba B'Yushalayim, right? So that's true. But before we get to that, that's true. Let's ask the question, why at the end of Pesach and why at the end of Yom Kippur? What do those things have in common? I mean, aside from the fact that like we just completed a long day, and we kind of have the opportunity to sing another song. So I always thought, well, some people give the answer because no two days are different as a result of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash than Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, right? Tisha B'Av because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, then Pesach and Yom Kippur. Pesach because we can't bring the Korban Pesach, and Yom Kippur because we can't do the Avodah, the intricate Avodah that takes place on Yom Kippur. Oh, true, but I always thought a different answer was true.
What can we do on Yom Kippur?
The service in the temple that we perform on Yom Kippur, which is very detailed and very intricate, we can't do. Yom Kippur is markedly different because of the fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash than it would be if we did. So I thought the answer was as follows. Rav Soloveitchik always writes that like the two most majestic and most royal days of the year in his house, the days with like the most majesty, where you can like feel it was, the excitement was palpable, was Kol Nidre night and Seder night. There's a certain feeling in the air, a certain sense of, I'm just doing what's right. Like, I'm somewhere where I should, this is where I should be. I shouldn't be anywhere else but here. And even Jews who are completely unaffiliated, on Pesach and Yom Kippur, they do the Seder and they do Yom Kippur in some way, shape, or form. This is what people do. And I wouldn't rather be anywhere else but here. So at the end of Yom Kippur, after we just screamed Hashem Hu Elokim seven times, and we've never been more clear about what's right and what our priorities are and what we're supposed to be doing and where we should be going, we scream out Lashana Haba B'Yushalayim. You know why? Because at no time during the year do we mean it more than after Yom Kippur. Lashana Haba B'Yushalayim. That's when we mean it most. When we're lifnei Hashem, after we're lifnei Hashem, after we had experienced that close encounter, we were able to introspect and ask ourselves exactly what's right.
What does that mean? Next year in Jerusalem?
Yeah, next year in Jerusalem. Yes, I'm sorry. So that's why we say next year in Jerusalem for that exact reason. And as you pointed out a second ago, what's your name?
Hadassah.
As Hadassah pointed out a second ago, Tisha B'Av is one long Lashana Haba Yerushalayim. The whole day is about Yerushalayim. It's a day where we reenact Yom Kippur to be able to tell ourselves consistently and constantly over the day, Lashana Haba B'Yushalayim. The Chazal teach us, Kol HaMisabala Yushalayim Zoche V'Roa B'Simchasa. Anyone who mourns over Jerusalem will merit and will see what? Not the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. It's the joy of Yerushalayim. It's very strange, phraseology of Chazal. But maybe the point is that what do we see when we mourn over the Beis HaMikdash? We see not that we will see Zocheh V'Roa in the present tense. We do see when you mourn over Jerusalem, Zocheh V'Roa, you do see in the present tense the Simcha of Yerushalayim. Everything is clear, everything is lucid. Everything has been stripped away. There's nothing impeding your sense of reality and your sense of clarity as to what's right and where I should be going. And that's what Tisha B'Av is about, very much similar in this respect to Yom Kippur. So hopefully this Tisha B'Av, as we think about Yom Kippur, perhaps, because we're just as hungry, let's also appreciate that it's also Yom Kippur in another sense. It's a day of Lifnei Hashem, of being able to, it's an opportunity, in a sense, of being able to ask ourselves, what's right, where am I, and where should I be going, so that we can fulfill, in the fullest sense, the words of Chazal, Kol HaMusab Al Yerushalayim, Zoche V'Ruah B'Simchasa, with not only the Simcha, but the Binyan, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, B'Mheirah B'Yameinu.